You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron Technology, partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Now, education remains the apex priority for South Africa. If we were to have truly any hope of providing a better future for the majority who remain trapped in what Thabo Mbeki used to call the second economy and beyond. Recently, the Department of Trade and Industry published a revision to the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Codes of Good Practice. And the revision includes key changes to what is called Code 300. And that specifically deals with skills development expenditure. And it now allocates 4 points as an incentive to employers to encourage contributions to bursaries for Black students at all higher education institutions. Now, someone who is dedicating his life to finding a way to improve our dismal education outcomes and access to education is Sizwe Ngcasana, who's former head of the First Rand Group and former head of NSFAS as well, now chairman of the IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program, and he's in studio so we can catch up and find out what you've been up to. Sizwe, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, I'm sure many listeners will be wondering what you've been up to since your NSFAS days, but let's just take a step back. The HEAR Commission's report into funding of higher education, all 750-odd pages of it, was detailed, it was thorough, it was reasonable, and it concluded that fee-free education isn't possible. We also saw a similar report by the Davis Tax Commission, and yet former President Zuma shocked everyone and declared it government policy the day that the ANC's watershed 54th elective conference began. Where were you at the time, and what went through your mind when that was announced?
Well, I was the chairman of NSFAS as well as IKUSASA Student Financial Aid Program, and had been working with the Department of Higher Education and Training, including other government departments, National Treasury and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, to look at solutions. As representing IKUSASA, made representations to the HEAR Commission. And the announcement itself, I guess, was not surprising, but the timing may have been surprising at the time because of what you've just indicated, because of the elective conference. But the couple of things, obviously that announcement, opened doors for a lot of students who may have been trapped by debt or who may not have had access to higher education to have access. So when you look at it in isolation, it's a good announcement, and in fact it's already benefiting a lot of students in the system. Clearly, if you look at it in the broader context of affordability as a country, of priorities and where we should be allocating resources, from early childhood development to basic education and so on, there are certain challenges that have been raised, for instance, by the World Bank and others, in terms of which direction we're going as a country. But it's a really good outcome when you look at it in terms of, providing access. Clearly, there are issues around affordability even today, because, that decision, if you look at all students who are at universities as well as TVET colleges, in an environment where we have fiscal constraints, it may have certain challenges, which is why we need to come on board as a private sector or employers, because government alone can't solve this problem of unemployment or skills production or inequality in the country.
As the World Bank report noted, it really is going to require public-private partnerships and a collective effort to help solve all of these apex challenges. In terms of scale, through that period as chair of NSFAS, how many were you funding, and how many students would now have to be catered for as a result of this?
So if you look at it, NSFAS was funding somewhere in the region of about close to 500,000 students at universities and TVET colleges. And the numbers are more or less similar. In other words, just over 200 and maybe close to 250,000 at universities, and a similar kind of number at TVET colleges. And if you look at that announcement that was made, already we saw the government increase the allocation to NSFAS. So there's an announcement at the budget of 111 billion rand over the 3-year medium-term expenditure budget allocation to NSFAS, which meant One of the other things that we saw in the country was, for instance, the increase in value-added tax, because government can only, you know, make money available either by borrowing or by cutting budgets from other departments or increasing taxes. You know, so if you look at those three, we've already actually experienced at least two of those, because, you know, obviously there's certain budgets that had to be cut so that increased allocations could be made to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. But as I say, you know, if you look at the need just for the students that are defined as the poor or working class students, in other words, those that qualify for NSFAS, you know, the number that's required per year is closer to 40 billion. And at the moment, we have about, you know, call it 30 billion that's been allocated to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. So there is a gap. And that does not even address the students that come from the so-called missing middle. In other words, students that come from families that earn between 350,000 rand and 600,000 rand, which is a problem that IGUSASA Student Financial Aid Program is addressing. That's why, you know, having worked with the government, the Department of Trade and Industry, this revision in the generic codes of broad-based black economic empowerment are really important because they will incentivize employers to contribute, as you indicated earlier, you know, up to 2.5% of their payroll in exchange for additional BE points. So instead of increasing taxes, this is a very innovative way of mm-hmm. how we can encourage employers to increase their allocation and funding to students to produce skills in return for, obviously, you know, the benefits of BEE.
Incentives such as that are always preferred as a carrot versus certain other potential sticks in beating the economy. Cizwe, we're going to continue this captivating conversation after this quick break. Let's cross now to Katleho for the traffic.
Classic Business, education and training.
Welcome back to Classic Business. My guest in studio is Cizwe Ngasana, former head of the First Rand Group and NSFAS, and our chairman of the IGUSASA Student Financial Aid Program. Cizwe, you decided to leave NSFAS last year and focus on IGUSASA to develop this proof of concept. Tell me what you've been busy with there.
So there are a couple of things. You know, in our earlier discussion, already indicated that, you know, the country needs a sustainable solution for the missing middle, but also we need to address the issues of production of skills, the high dropout rate of students, especially those that come from poor or working class or missing middle backgrounds. Thirdly, how we get the private sector particularly involved in solving some of the problems that we have, including, you know, what happens to these students when they finish? In other words, when they graduate, do they find employment? But also addressing some of the fundamental issues around learning and teaching at universities so that we're teaching for relevance. As opposed to, you know, we keep doing things that we've been doing for many, many years. So this is how IGUSASA Student Financial Aid Program was started, to say, you know, how do we make sure that there's a collective effort to address all of these? So it was created, and we are now in our third year of operation. The founding members are Business Leadership South Africa, the Association for Savings and Investments, in other words, ASISA, you know, the Banking Association, the First Rand Foundation, as well as the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. And having been founded, you know, by, you know, organized business, we started, you know, raising money. So we started at seven universities, you know, in 2017, funding students that come from, you know, the missing middle and poor working backgrounds. And, you know, the idea here is to create a possible public-private partnership to solve some of these problems. And I'm really pleased to say that, you know, being in our third year, where we now at 11 universities, obviously these new codes that have been passed of broad-based black economic empowerment are going to make it possible for us to expand to 26 public universities in the country. In other words, all the universities in the country, focusing on occupations in high demand, in other words, priority skills. So right now, for instance, you know, we support students that come from the missing middle that are doing medicine, actuarial science, engineering, accounting, data science, just as an example of some of the degrees that we support. And what's important is that it's not just financial aid. It is about how do we set these students up to succeed.
And so that is critical, yeah. Cizwe, because I think what we're spending currently as government perhaps is not engineered to see a return on the effort and the equity that we're putting in here in terms of the dropout rates and the throughputs and the amount of students that are not making it from first year through to fourth or even fifth year. Yeah. How have you managed to solve for this? Because I believe you've had 1,700 students, am I correct?
Correct, yeah. So, and the results in terms of progression for those students has been really amazing. You know, about 91-92% have made it, in other words, are progressing in line, which is more than double what the average throughput pass rate would be for especially those degrees or programs that we are supporting. And how we do this is to work with universities in partnership to provide the wraparound support to the students. In other words, they get additional academic support because, you know, the fact that a student may have gotten straight A's and managed to get into engineering or actuarial science and all these other degrees does not necessarily mean they are prepared for university, for, you know, what they're going to meet there. So very often they need additional academic support, they need life skill support, in other words, to be given life skills such as financial literacy and how you actually manage yourself at a university where you are independent, and also to be given psychosocial support, because very often students come with a huge amount of issues that come from families that may be broken and so on. So you've got to, you know, be able to support them. So what we do is to work with universities. We have program managers on the ground. We have a, you know, technology platform that we've developed to track each student that we fund so that we can have early warning systems if things are going wrong. If a student is failing assignments or projects or tests, as an example, we don't wait until, you know, they have semester marks to know that there's a problem. So, you know, and this dynamic way of how you then manage the student's life cycle at universities has proven to be really effective. And we're building this to be able to offer it, you know, for all students that come, particularly from, you know, backgrounds that have a lot of those challenges that I indicated earlier.
It's so interesting. A partner of mine is an alumni of UCT. I went to RAU, which became UJ, but UCT are finding that they're battling to help missing middle students with basics like food. They came from schools where there were feeding schemes, got the marks, but now they're at university and they don't have that kind of support. So that wraparound support is really part of the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle here, Sizwe. So far, you've helped 1,700 students. You're now scaling up rapidly. Are there talks underway with Treasury to try and bring government into the fold now a little bit more? This is a private sector-led initiative. What sort of talks are you having with government?
So there have been talks from right from the beginning, because when we started, for instance, we went right up to Cabinet to say, you know, here's a concept, and Cabinet approved that we could go ahead and investigate how this could be scaled across the system, especially to partner with government, such as the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, so that all of these solutions could be offered. So that process has been ongoing and will continue, you know, to, for instance, you know, we'll be, you know, submitting a report to the Department of Higher Education and Training. And obviously Treasury, National Treasury, is quite interested in this, because if you look at just the poor and missing middle students that, you know, are in the system today, the country needs somewhere in the order of about 68 billion rand a year to cater for these students. And this is excluding the cost of wraparound support, which is probably another 4 billion rand a year. So we're looking at a lot of innovations, including how we use impact investing. So, for instance, we're starting to run a pilot at one of the universities of a social impact bond. In other words, you mobilize funding, which may even be looking for a risk-adjusted return, so that if you improve the outcomes, in other words, the graduation rates of students in certain degrees or programs, you can have a lot of investors who then come on board and their offtake agreements, as an example. So there's a lot of innovation in terms of how you use technology, how you use wraparound support in a scalable and sustainable fashion, how you fund using a mix of grants and other, you know, financial models, as an example. And because we have, you know, for instance, the insurance industry through ASISA, the banking association, which is involved, which, you know, obviously involves a lot of the banks, we're able to build all of these systems and capabilities. which the country must be able to benefit from. And that's why the discussion with government become a really important piece.
And, you know, the solving for that skills equation, as you said, you know, funding degrees in the sciences that we certainly need in the country. How can business get involved here? See, where you've mentioned the DTIs, now the DTICs, I think, codes, yes. 300. What does that mean for business in this whole equation?
So it means a hell of a lot because, you know, companies often say, you know, we don't have the skills to grow our businesses. Now there's an avenue where you can find skills in addition to all the other social programs or maybe areas that are covered in the codes, from equity to equity equivalent to skills development to CSI. There's an avenue now for companies to increase their allocation and spend in return for BE points, where they can get, you know, obviously the skills which they need to run and grow their businesses, as an example. So if you go to ISFAP, IGUSASA Student Financial Aid Program, so in our website is isfap.co.za, you'll see how this actually works. We already are talking to a lot of companies that are part of organized business. Obviously, there are a lot of companies that are not part of BLSA or BUSA or ASISA or Banking Association that would like to come on board, because, I mean, this could really be a game changer in terms of how the country looks at the skills that we're producing in the country.
And it certainly has all the potential to scale up without any of the fails that we have seen in the past when it comes to funding tertiary education. Sizwe, a great pleasure chatting to you, and all power to your elbow and to the rest of your team at IGUSASA in rolling this out nationally and making the impact that we so sorely need in our tertiary education sector. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me.